Hello, good morning. Thank you for inviting my wife Esther and myself here and for the opportunity to share my testimony with you. My wife Esther and I came to the United States in 2015. When we arrived here, we did not know any English. We could not speak in English. We could not read in English. So, and I don't know if you know how hard it is to learn English. So, in my native language, which is Farsi, we read and write from right to left. But here in English, we read and write from left to right. The grammar is very different. For example, here we say, I like apple. But in Farsi, we say, I apple-like. And the other things is, we don't have he and she. We only use one word. Like, we say, ooh. So, and I did not know the difference before I got here. So, for example, I'm not still into it. If I talk about my wife and say, my wife makes a very good food. He's a good cooker. Because I'm not into it. So, and the other big differences is this measurement, the system of measurement. It's very different. Here, I learned the different system of measurement, I think metric system. And here we have a different measurement. So, and sometimes learning these is very, not just hard, it's confusing. As an example, we have ounces, and in Farsi or in metric system, we have milligram. The abbreviation for milligram is mg, but for example, for ounces, the abbreviation is oz, and there is no z in the word. And the other things, the abbreviation for kilogram is kg, but the abbreviation for pound is lbs. So, I'm explaining this to you to not expect me to speak English well. So, as Carl mentioned, I'm from Iran, and we pronounce it Iran. After 2 years, I learned to pronounce it Iran, like I ran. So, and I was born and raised in a Muslim religious family. And since I was 6 years old, my father taught me how to practice in Islam. So, and I had to fast a month in a year and practice in Islam until I turned to 25. While I was growing up, I realized that I had a lot of sin, and I did not like those sin. I watched a lot of bad movies, I used a lot of profanity, lied, and many things that I embarrassed to share. But I didn't like those. And any time that I asked Allah, the God of Islam, I could not receive any help. And I felt going more down and down. And my situation got more worse and worse. So then I got hopeless, and I felt that I was going to hell. One day, one of my colleagues, I used to work in the oil company as an office administrator. One of my colleagues told me that he's a Christian. And I was okay with that. But once I heard that he used to be a Muslim, it was like a shock for me. I didn't like that at the beginning. So, and I thought maybe I could help him to return to Islam. So, because I had taught back in my country when I went to a school, that Islam is a perfect religious, and it's the end of the religious, and Bible has many mistake, and there is many wrong things in the Bible. So I asked him to give me a Bible, and I bought a notebook like this one, and in the right side of that notebook, I wrote down the advantage of the Quran and Islam, and on the left side, I wrote down the disadvantage of the Bible. So, I started reading both Bible and Quran. Once I passed chapter 3 or 4 of Matthew, I got to chapter 5, and I realized the Bible is an amazing book. I said, wow, this is every word was just impressed me. So I thought, wow. And then I started focusing on Quran, and I realized it's talking not about love the way that it talks about in the Bible and many other things. So, and then for a few months, I started asking that my friend, the Christian friend, about Christianity, and he explained it to me. So, and one day I decided to just give my heart to Jesus, because I was very, had a bad situation with my sin. Sin was controlling me, and it's like a sickness, and I could not escape its power. So it was early morning, and I prayed to Jesus. I pray only for 30 seconds. I said, Jesus, Bible says that you're the only way to the Father, and you can forgive my sin and help me to live for God. So it was just like that. And then I went to sleep. The next day when I woke up, I forgot that I'm a Christian. I forgot that I pray. And I started my life like every day. I went to work, and I had some fellow at work, and we always gathered for having breakfast. So I started to use profanity, bad words, and something stopped me. And I was staring at them, and they stared at me because they were into it. So, and they told me, what was going on with you? And then I realized that the night before I prayed to Jesus. Amen. I left the door, the office, and I felt the presence of God. Now I know it's the presence of God, but I did not know. All over me, the presence of God. It was for the first time, and I felt very light. And then I said, wow, this is God. It was amazing. So, and I went to the guy that shared the gospel with me. I said, what is this? He said, this is the Holy Spirit. And he showed me in the Bible, says, look at here, this Bible says, when you come to Jesus, you receive Holy Spirit. So, and then by the time I learned many things, and when I read the Bible, I said, and then it says that the Holy Spirit is teaching you. So, and then after a few days, I decided to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. So, and my family found out about it soon, and they forced me to not read Bible. They forced me not to go to underground home churches. So I had to read the Bible under blanket during the midnight, and go to the bathroom, pray, and read the Bible. So, after a few days, I said, this is amazing. Living with Jesus is amazing. I want other people have that opportunity. Maybe some people had the same situation as I had before. So I started sharing the gospel with other people. And I did that for a year, and then church told me are you interested to serve the Lord? I immediately said, yes, I would like to serve the Lord. So they told me, if you want to serve the Lord, you have to leave the country and go to another country and study theology. So, and they sent me to Turkey, and there was a training by ministry. So I started learning theology. While I was in studying, I heard that the police were arrested many of our brother and sister in Christ and our church pastor. A few days later, my family called me. They said, don't come back. The police were looking for you too. And they came here and they took your brothers and father and they kept them for several hours, even though they weren't Christian. So, after that, but I thought the reason that I wanted to learn because I wanted to share about gospel. So I went back to my country. A few days after that, the police came and took me to the police station. They wanted me to report about others' brother and sister. So I did not want to do that. So they beat me up and they had me to sign a paper to agree not share about the gospel. They forced me to do that. So after this, everybody in our church left our country and the pastor wanted to leave too. So they told me, they lay a hand on me and they told me you should be a pastor. So, and they prayed for me. And almost everybody were gone and few people left. So after this, we realized everywhere we went, there were police. The secret police around us, everywhere. So we knew that we wanted to share the gospel. So we bought a map of our state. And there were like a 50 cities on that map. We started praying for those cities. And around 3 or 4 a.m., we left our home and we went to the other city. So we thought this way they could not track us. So, and then we went and start sharing about the gospel. Meanwhile, my family told me they're not allowing me to marriage with any Christian girl. So, and because in my country, still marriages are arranged by parents. So they wanted me to marry with the Muslim girls. Over the 3-4 years, they wanted me to marry several Muslim girls, and I did not accept that. So one day, and I couldn't do anything about it, one day Esther, my wife's father, and also in our culture, they encourage to marry with your relative. So Esther's father brought her to our house and asked one of my brother if we could walk her to a school. So I thought it's a good opportunity for me to share the gospel with her. I went to my bedroom and I picked up the New Testament. And I went on my knee and said, God, help me to give her a New Testament and talk to her about Christ. So I went there and I said, can I walk you to a school? And she accepted that. And on the way, I told her I'm Christian and I told her about Jesus and here's a New Testament. And she accepted the New Testament, but she started yelling at me. I'm a Muslim. I don't want to be Christian. And you made a mistake. And just, I was shocked in the middle. And then she walked alone. And then I went back and I felt I made a mistake to talk to her about Christ. After 3 months, she called me and said, why didn't you wish me Merry Christmas? And said, why I should wish you Merry Christmas? She said, I'm a Christian now. And then she talked I said, I realized, yeah, she was a Christian. She knew Bible very well. She read the old New Testament, and I felt that she had a Holy Spirit. So, and then I tried to help her grow spiritually, and we met several times. And then I felt something in my heart for her. And one day I proposed her, and she accepted me to be future husband. So, and I promised her to ask my family to do a marriage arrangement. After I hung up, I realized if I talked to my family about her, they would know that she's a Christian. And I said, what a mistake I did. I shouldn't promise her. And then I pray. The next day, all my family gathered, and they said, we want to talk to you. I said, okay, what's it about? Said, this is the last chance for you. And if you don't accept our offer, we would not do anything for you. And I said, who is that girl? And they said, it's Esther. And we believe you will have a bright future with her. And I pretended that I'm not happy and I had no choice. So, very soon, we got married. And I realized that she gifted evangelists. And she came with us to go to the other city. And she was really good at it. For me and other people of the team, it took several times to talk to someone. And then person might come to Jesus. But for her, she only needed once. And then people right away came to Jesus. So, and then and Esther and other people in our team share 4,000 New Testament in the different city. And people start coming to the Christ. This is a guy. This guy is Shahrukh. He shared the gospel with me. He was the last person in his family that came to the Christ. And his family heard about Christ from his uncle. His uncle heard about Christ 40 years ago when our country was open from the missionary. So from missionary, his uncle heard, and then from his uncle, they came to Christ, and me, and I think maybe 300-400 in the city that I was there. I grew up. So, and then we realized people start coming to Christ. There are many people coming to Christ. This is, go back, I push it. This is Khalil. We were for theology classes, together. He was a good teacher in our team. This is Farzane. She helped us with worshiping. And this is Reza. He is still in Iran and is still serving Lord. This is Ali, and he is still serving Lord in Iran. And we were as a team, and we also taught other people too. But we were a team, and there was other people, but I don't have their picture here. So, and what happened, and God gave us the vision that he wanted to plant 7 churches, and people came to Christ a lot. So we couldn't help them a lot because we were just few people. And some, for example, I remember one day I had to travel to 4 cities in a different direction just to help them. And we only could go there every other weekend. Every day, every time that we went there, we saw new believers. The new believers, they brought another believers. And they were very strong in their faith. The sign of the new believers in Iran was that Jesus was in the center of their life. It's not part of their life. It was everything for them. So, and one day, one person came to me and he asked me, can you pray for me? I said, what's this about? He said, I always have some fear to not to do sin. And I said, this is amazing. We want everybody has that fearing of God. I'm not going to pray to God take away this from you. So, and we pray that everybody has this. So, and in about 2010, God planted 7 churches in different cities. And in one of the cities, we had 70 people. We didn't have room for them. And we didn't know. It was very scary. We had to, the home church, underground home church, is the only way to worship God. So we had to had a meeting at 10, 11 p.m. or early morning, every day, the different days of the week. So we couldn't have it every, like you guys, you have it every Sunday morning. So, and in 2010, after we God planted 7 churches, we heard Esther went for training. On the way back to our country, the police stopped her. And they look in her suitcase. And after a few days, they took her to the police station. And they called me, you need to bring your passport. And I took, I had no choice. So we gave them our passport. And then after a few days, they arrested me and Khalil. And they put the covered on our face, and they took us somewhere that we had no idea. And then I found myself in the cell. So, and they told me you should not talk, and just you press the ring. So we were, we had an interview me every day. So they beat me up, and all my body was black and blue, and I wasn't able to walk. So 2 people carry me to cell and to that interview room. It was winter around the Christmas era. So, and I felt I had to sleep on the cell that I was. I had to sleep on the ground. It was very cold because there was a window on the ceiling. It was open and there was some crack, I don't know, hole in the door that they brought the weather. There was weather coming in and going out. It was very, very cold. And because it was so cold, I couldn't sleep. So, and then suddenly I realized felt that someone is next to me. And it was dark and I touched ground, but I couldn't see anybody. But it was strong, had a strong feeling that someone was next to me. And then I realized that I could go to sleep normally. And it happened many nights. So anytime that they beat me, the first thing that Holy Spirit reminded me when I went to my cell, I went try to pray for them, to God forgive them and bless their family. So, and then this was Khalil. This was the prison that I went to. And from that cell, after a month, they took us to this prison. Everybody knew that prison. So I was there, and then one day they told me they want to take me to the court, and the judge wanted to do something about it. So they put a handcuff on me, and they handcuffed me, and they put shackles put on my feet, and they handcuffed it to me to other person. One person, when I was in prison, I was able to see people, so I started sharing gospel. So that's why few people came to me and said, "When you want to go to court, not share about the God, don't share about gospel." And it was the first time that I was convinced that not sharing about the gospel, and I was wrong. It was first time, and I was wrong. So I decided to not share about gospel. So, and then it took an hour, and the people who was handcuffed to me, we were sat behind the judge room, And I needed to talk to someone about sending a message to my family. I asked a soldier, and he said, I cannot do that. There was a soldier right next to me with a gun. And then one person came to me and said, I can help you. What is your problem? You're here. Because I didn't want anybody find out that I'm Christian. I said, I'm a Christian. And then the guy was handcuffed to me. He says, are you Christian? I said, oh, I'm in trouble. I was in trouble. So, and I said, yes. And he said, for many years, I was looking for to find a Christian people. And I said, what is that about? He said, a few years ago, a person shared the gospel with me and left. And then I couldn't find any churches. I couldn't find any Bible. And I didn't know what I needed to do. But I knew that I needed Jesus. And I said, so, are you ready? And I shared about Jesus, and he knew everything. I said, do you know that Jesus can forgive your sin? He said, yeah. And then I said, are you ready to pray? And he said, yes. And while the surgeon was right next to us, and I was there, I pray that, and he came to Jesus. And we felt the Holy Spirit everywhere. We felt Holy Spirit everywhere. So, and then after a while, my family had to put their house title. So then I was able to release, they released me from prison. So I had, and then I lost my job because I couldn't work every day. I had to go to police station. And even though I like my country, and I had an easy life because I had a house, I had a car, I had a job. We decided to escape our country. So, and then we had to pay a smuggler. So, and then they helped us to escape our country. It was not easy because I remember we had to pass the mountains. And in the part of that journey, we walk in the cliff edge. We're walking the cliff edge, and I found a guy, and I asked, "This is very dangerous. Can you walk behind my wife?" And I walk in front of her because it's very dangerous. And he accepted, and I shared a lot of food and everything that I had, and Esther fell. It was 10 p.m. and he grabbed her hand. If he wasn't there, I would not had her. So and then all her body from back injured, and then once we passed the border, we slept in the barn for a night, and the next day we went to the another city, and we did not have any document. So it took us a month to recovery. I got sick, and she was sick, so we couldn't go to doctor. So and then. After that, we got a document from UN, and then we stayed in Turkey for 3 years, and I was serving Lord as a pastor in a few churches in the Turkey, and by 2015, we were approved to coming here. They choose U.S. for us, so we had no choice on that. So they told us, you don't have a choice. So after it took 3 years and several interviews, that finally they said, okay, you should go to U.S. And they had us to sign a document in order for us to pay for our plane ticket. So when we got here, we started life with no English and debts for paying back our plane ticket. And we came here with one backpack. When we left our country, we fell in the in a very bad stream. The stream was running fast, and if the people weren't there, we will die. And the guy that helped Esther, we met her after a year, and he came to Christ too. And we both prayed for him, and he came to Christ. So then we are here, and praise the Lord. So, Pastor, I had a lot of things to say, and then I realized the time is going fast, so I skip many things.
We're good on time. Let's bring the worship team up and worship our great God. And then I think I want to come back and we'll chat a bit. We'll sit on some stools here, and I'll ask you a few questions, and then we'll end our time with that. Talk about Jesus all you want here, and no one's going to hit you. Yeah, I'm kind of curious as, let's back up a bit. Getting off the plane in USA, you were determined to learn English, as strange as English can be.
Yeah.
I was totally connecting with some of the stuff, ounces and OZ, and yeah, I went through English in middle school, junior high, never understood any of that stuff. So I'm thinking my teacher should have talked to him. So anyway, why were you determined to learn English?
Okay, when I got, we arrived here, we wanted to share about our testimony. So we wanted to learn not just English, learn your culture. I know about your culture. Maybe sometimes I feel I know you guys better than yourself. So yeah, the most reason was because I wanted to share about what God is doing. And that's why now I'm here.
Yeah, yeah. You wanted to be able to say it where we could, these people could understand it.
Yeah,
and not have someone else interpret.
Interpret. They, in fact, and they wanted me to share about my testimony. They wanted to use interpreter, but I did not accept it because I wanted to share it by myself. Also, because we were short in time. But the other reason, when I said when I arrived here with one backpack, but I didn't want people felt that I don't have nothing. I lost my home, my car, my job. So I felt maybe people felt they would have to help me financially. So this wasn't something that I was looking for. So my wife and I both. Have been working in the last 4 years. Now I have everything that I lost back in my country. In fact, sometimes I felt I'm like a Job in the Bible. I had Jesus, and then Jesus helped me to get married, have a house, car, and I lost everything. And then again, Jesus blessed me with better things. I have a house now. I have job, my wife has job, I have car, I have everything. So praise the Lord.
Yeah. So tell us where do you live, what are your jobs, and a little bit about your family. You
know? Yeah, when I started learning English, then I decided to have a profession. So I study for IT. I got in two associate degree. And I got associate degree in IT. So now I'm an IT specialist, and I work in Vancouver, and mostly I work with Microsoft product. I know Microsoft product very well.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And where does your wife work?
Oh, she's working as a CNA, and she works night shift. She goes to work at 6 she leave home 6 p.m. and she return home at 7:45 a.m. And then I had to go work, but she's pregnant. We have another baby on the way. And beside that, we have another kid's name is Michael, and she has to take care of that. It's very hard for her.
So Michael's in the childcare right now, and he's a year and a half?
Yes, he's about a year and a half, 17 months.
And child number two is coming when?
January 19th.
19th, yes, great. And you can be praying for Esther. She takes shots to make sure the baby's going to be delivered on a timely basis. And yeah, so you guys are making it happen.
Yeah, she received a shot because Michael was born 6 weeks early, and she had in a NICU for 21 days. So now the doctor decided that she received shots every week. So it is very hard on her, very, very hard when she received those shots. I cannot believe that how hard it is for her. So I thought, Anit, we don't want to have any more baby because it's very hard for you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. I heard about sharing the gospel in Iran and pastor. You did some pastoral work in Turkey. What do you think God has planned for you going forward? Obviously, taking care of your family.
Yeah, this is very important. I learned that taking care of family. First, I want my kids, my family, be in Christ. This is most important because this is that God gave it to me. But I also feel a responsibility about other people. So now I'm learning English, so I'm trying to share the gospel with people. And I like to serve the Lord. But I'm praying about it. Please pray for me because I know that I would like to serve. I like to serve the Lord, but I'm still not clear. But for now, I want to share my testimony with you. And I think in November, I'm going to share my testimony in another church in Clackamas County. And in January, I'm going to do it the same in a different church.
Let's go back to the, you were a Christian and you were arrested and you're in prison and receiving some beatings, sleeping on the cold floor, things like that. What kept you going? I heard something about you felt the presence of God, but was there ever any discouragement during those times, any sense of regret?
When I became Christian, both my father had several houses. He offered me, he said, if you return to Islam, I give you this house. And I didn't accept that. While I was there, they put a lot of pressure on me. And even they wanted my email password. And I refused to do that. They took off my pants and they told me that we're going to abuse you if you don't tell us your password. But I knew that Jesus was there. When we were walking, we left our country, and even when we were alone, and we knew that Jesus was there. I knew that Jesus is here now. And for example, they beat me up a lot, and they said, what is those churches on that city? And I really didn't know, but it made me happy. I said, wow, praise the Lord, there are some people, churches on that city. They give me a strength and say, wow, I couldn't believe that city has believers. We couldn't believe that because we didn't go to that city. We shared gospel. Look at how God works. We shared gospel to many cities, but we didn't go to that city. But they told me that there is a people, believer on that city. So, and after they beat me a lot, then they started offering me that we help you with job, we can help you to be rich. And then they started begging me, just give one Islamic word, begging every morning because they practice in Islam. Every morning they knock that cell and said, oh, start praying in Islam. And I didn't want to say, I'm not a Muslim. So, but for sure, I'm not that much strong. It's all about Jesus. It was there. He gave me strength. I know that I'm not a strong person.
Mm-hmm. So a bunch of us, I think it's common for us to be a little bit afraid of Islam and Muslims. And we think, wow, it's so powerful and so strong. Nobody's going to come to Christ out of Islam. But you've seen dozens, even hundreds of people become Christians.
Yeah.
Why are people interested in Jesus when they already have Allah and Islam?
Yeah, I wish I had more time to share the many miracles that how people came to Christ. I was interested, I don't know why I'm interested to share about my how I met Esther, how I married her, and then I missed to share about how many miracles God did to bring people in Christ. So people, even though they have bias, but they're empty. They don't have God. There is no God. They know. Once you start talking about sin, they're scared because they know they go to hell. In Islam, they don't say that you go to heaven. So they feel emptiness. The same feeling that I had before. I know they all have it now. So, and then there is no, because there is no God, nobody could help them. So, but if we, because Jesus says, talk about love, we need to go to them with love. Love is very important. Mm-hmm. Love of God.
Yeah. I noticed one of the Bible verses you had up there was love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you.
Yeah. And yeah, many people, I remember once one person told me that he's ready to come to Jesus. But he wanted me to say something. He said, I knew that you were Muslim. Give me more negative things about Islam. That I, after you told me, I promise you I am converted to Christianity. I said, I'm not here to talk about Islam or anything. I'm here to talk about Jesus and Bible. So I don't want to use anything that related to Islam. So if you want to hear about Islam, go to mosque. But if you want to hear about Christianity, I'm here. So, and then he left. But he promised me I could tell him something about Islam that make him feel confidence. But I didn't tell. I refused to do that. But I heard a month later, he become a believer. I never ever met him. But I wanted to teach him to learn, not say anything about Islam. Because we want to say, talk about the gospel.
Yeah, yeah. I heard you mention the underground church in Iran. So yeah. Obviously you don't meet like we do. That's a very different experience. Help us to understand what does that look like, an underground church.
Yeah.
How do you gather for worship and preaching or training or how does that work?
We set the rule to not gather more than 15 people.
16?
15.
15 people, okay.
Yeah, we set a rule not because everybody could understand. And then, we gather and then we start worshiping and then praying. It was very friendly. We share food together and we didn't know a lot of theology. But I think Bible is really easy to understand. We don't want to make it very complicated. So it's very easy. Just we read the Bible and we try to obey the Bible verses. So, and yeah, as I said, everybody, and Jesus was the center of everybody's life. We practice this every day.
Having come from, I guess, what we would call the Eastern world, so here you are in the West, anything you want to say to the church in the West? Anything you want us to know as Christians?
Yeah, this is great. You said that you pray for Iran. I remember when I was in prison, I felt that some people praying for us. Specifically, I felt that some people from U.S. praying for us, for me. I strongly felt that. I think praying, I wanted to ask you pray for people. There are many people in my country, our brother and sister, they are in prison. There are many underground churches. And many people that trying to work for the God gospel. So this is my prayer request, and I want you to pray for them and help them. If you, as I said, I heard the gospel from Shahrukh, and Shahrukh heard it from the his uncle, that his uncle heard it from the missionary 40 years ago. Now my country is closed. There is no way for missionary to go in. But for now, if you could go somewhere as a missionary, it helped a lot. If not, we can pray that, which is very important.
And you can't go back to Iran?
I cannot, because they had me to do fingerprint. And I cannot leave U.S. because I don't have passports yet. So, and yeah.
You're not yet a U.S. citizen?
Not yet. And it's getting harder and harder to become citizen. But I can't do application after 5 years. Maybe soon be going to submit our application, yeah. Citizen application.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like your name, but you mentioned you might change your last name when you become a citizen.
Yeah, it's hard. My last name is Shukrullah. In fact, my name is Sayyid Mustafa. I go by Sam. And Sayyid means that my family and me descended from Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. So this is a bad title. It's to my name.
Yeah. And what's your last name mean?
My last name is Shukrullahi, means thanks to Allah. Shuk means thanks. Allah, and in the end, is Allah. He means thanks to Allah.
So the full name means a descendant from Muhammad, and
thanks to Allah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, my name is Alsin, and often people call me Alsin.
All sin.
Yeah, all sin.
All sin.
Just like every last ounce of him is
all sin.
Sin. So, yeah, I have camaraderie in my misery and comfort here. Yeah.
When people call you all sin, you might need to search to see maybe there's sin.
Maybe there's something there. Who invited you?
I'm almost finished.
Love this guy. Okay.
I like to joke a lot.
Yeah.
I like to say joke a lot.
He's a lot of fun.
Thank you.
We've had a number of phone calls. He's had some Mormons visit him, and it's been interesting. As I'm ex-Mormon, and he's got Mormons now who are coming to him, and we've had some great conversations about that. So anyway, I would like to pray for you and Esther over here, and your journey into another child. And beyond what God has for you. I would love for you, Sam, to pray for your country, your homeland of Iran.
Yeah.
And just for us to hear your heart for your fellow citizens back there, as well as your brothers and sisters in Christ who are trying to make it happen for the gospel. So how about if you pray, and then I'll close our time
together.
You
want me to pray in English?
Sure.
Whatever. It's hard.
It is hard. Would you rather pray in Farsi?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah,
you
it
guys
would be
handle
easier
it?
For me. And he said about the that Mormon people, right?
Yeah.
Thanks to Carl, when I found he used to be, he knew some information every time that they wanted to come. And a few times I called him, and he helped me a lot. So then they ran away. They ran away. They did not have answer for my question. It was embarrassing. Embarrassing. And I said, Carl. And Carl said, you should tell them this. I said, okay, perfect. So it was really amazing. Thank you.
Good, good. Yeah. Okay. Let's have you pray in Farsi as you're most comfortable, and I'll pray. I'm going to pray in English because
okay.
It's not going to happen.
Maybe you could pray in Farsi and I could in English.
We'll work on that. I could say Esau.
Yeah.
And then I would be stuck.
Yeah.
That would be about it. So let's pray together, shall we? You can go first.
خداوند و پدر آسمانی شکرت میکنم که این اجازه رو به من دادی خداوند اینجا باشم. من به زبان فارسی اینجا دعا کنم. دعا میکنم پدر بسمیسای مسیح مردم رو برکت بده، این عزیزان تو برکت بده. دعا میکنم پاستر کارل و همسر جولی رو برکت بدی خداوند، این کلیسا رو برکت بدی خداوند، و خیلی مردم اینجا به تو بیان خداوند، تو رو بشناسن. دعا میکنم برای ایران خداوند، خداوند تو داری کار میکنی اونجا، تو نجات بده خداوند. خیلی سخته که خداوند انومی اتک میکنه خداوند، دشمن حمله میکنه به کلیسا، تو کلیسا رو از حمله هایی که از درون از بیرون تو نجات بده تو ایران، به اسم عیسی مسیح، آمین.
Yeah, amen to all that. Dear God, we do come before you on behalf of Sam and Esther, their young son Michael, and their child yet to be born. I want to pray for health and strength for the entire family. Keep them serving you for a lifetime, close to Jesus, listening to the Holy Spirit, exalting God the Father, and telling other people about you. I pray that you'd increase Sam's ministry, that you would send people his way that he can talk to about you, but then also that you'd send him into situations, churches, conferences, and gatherings where he can tell people about you. Specifically, I pray that he would be able to encounter and develop relationships with Muslims in our state, our country, that he'd be a representative, an ambassador for Christ, who can tell Muslims about Jesus. And then ordinary folk who live in our land, and so many Americans have heard about Jesus long ago, and they just have set him aside. I pray that Sam could witness to them as well. And then for Esther also, I pray that you'd give her grace, that your grace would abound in her life as she works all night at times and carries a child within her and then cares for a child that when she gets home, all of that, that you would give her energy and perseverance, help her to be a wise wife for Sam, and that they would partner together for the proclamation and advancement of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Open doors that they can't even imagine at this point to get them to where you want them to be, and bless them in every aspect of their journey as they want to follow your lead and not ask you to chase after them. Thank you for the gift of missions and nations and peoples who live everywhere, and languages and tribes. Thank you for that. You've enriched us through this morning. I pray that you develop within us a heart for the nations and a heart for the lost and a heart for people who haven't heard about you, that we might be willing to go or to send or to pray for the furtherance of the name of Jesus Christ throughout the world. It's in his name that I bring this prayer. Amen. All right, thank you so much. I think we're just going to be around here. Some folks have some questions and want to follow up with you further. Goodbye, and God bless you. Thank you for coming.
God bless you.